I'm nice to be here with you all. Oh, and I should say, Merry Christmas. Should I say that? And also, congratulations on the marathon. How wonderful. I'm sure Srila Prabhupada would be very happy. But today, you know, I was wondering what to say. Today, of course, is, you know, Christmas, and it's of some significance. But we were reading the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and it's just so wonderful, so amazing. I was sitting here thinking, wow, maybe I should just say something about that. What do you think? Or something about Christmas. He said Bhagavad Gita. Okay, maybe I'll try and say a bit of both. Okay.
Slightly puzzled, perhaps, or just wonder a bit
How is it, how could it be that Arjuna is asking, Lord Krishna, please tell me who you are? Yeah, because they have known each other for many years. They have known each other just very approximately at least 60 or 70 years. You know, even your husband and wife, Sean, how long have you known your wife? 20. So, we assume he knows his wife. Yeah. How long have you known your wife?
11.
Okay. So, Arjuna has known Krishna 60 years or 70 or more. Lord Krishna was present on this planet for 125 years. People lived longer in those days. It was different. You know, it was different in a number of very significant ways. You know, even in the Bible, many of you have not read the Bible. You know, I was brought up in a Christian family. I read the Bible a number of times. But there, it describes, you know, I don't know if you're familiar, that someone like Noah, did you ever hear of Noah's Ark? You heard? Okay. He was something, lived to be 900 years, something like that. And various other people. There's a whole section there where it talks about different people, how long they lived. And some of these people were 900 years and several hundred years. So, you know, it's like a different time. And people's bodies at other times, physical bodies, like our flesh and blood bodies we're currently in, but at other times, people, it appears from, you know, records and whatever, information is around, that even though some people living back in the distant past by our standards, their bodies, even though they were constructed of flesh and blood and bones, etc. But it was a different quality of flesh and blood and bones, and therefore it lived longer without falling to pieces. Our bodies, let's face it, they fall to pieces. They are falling to pieces. Any of you who are over the age, I would say, shall we say approximately late 20s, 30. Anyone here who is 30 plus, you're on the downhill slope, I'm afraid. Oh yeah, it's just a fact. This is not a question of belief. Let me tell you, I'm 65, and I can confirm that when you're 65, even if you're relatively, you know, not in such a bad condition like myself, but when you're 65, you're always sick. You're always sick. It's a fact. There's always something. And if it's not one thing, it's another thing. And it sort of, it gets worse. If there are any of our members here, devotees, who are 70 plus, well, they could confirm it, I'm sure. But if we look as an example, dogs, Man, Sri Sri Radha Radha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sri Giri Radha. Dogs are man's best friend, right? Or is man dog's best friend? How does it work? I'm sure man is dog's best friend because you see many dogs driving around in motor cars. You know, did you ever see a sheep driving around in a motor car? Or lying on the sofa in the front room? But you see dogs doing that. So definitely dogs are man's best friend. But dogs, and again, you know, you might not be a dog person, but if a dog reaches 15, it's old. 15. If a dog reaches 20, sure. I don't think hardly any dogs reach 20. They die because the body, physical body, even though it's constructed of flesh and blood and bones, like our bodies, but it's a sort of a lower grade. And so it, after 15 years, it's had it. Cows, same thing, 15 years. If you ever meet a 20-year-old cow, you're meeting a really ancient cow. But I think I digress a bit. At that time, people lived longer. So Arjuna and Krishna had known each other at least, it's maybe 80 years, maybe 90 years. Actually, according to Mahabharata, after, Krishna left this world 31 years after Bhagavad Gita was spoken, after the battle, which Bhagavad Gita is spoken right at the beginning of. So, 31 years, and Krishna's state was present 125 years, means what is it, 125 minus 31? Silence. Did you get the trick? University students. 94. So they had known each other basically 90 years plus because they are more or less the same age and they were cousins, or as they say, cousin brothers. The relationship was really close, very close. And they were just in each other's company practically all the time, at least so much of the time. But here is Arjuna asking Krishna, please tell me who you are. And I want to know about you. He already knows about her. But I want to know about you. For I do not know what your mission is. It's very interesting because they've known each other for so long, very closely, extremely closely, for maybe 90 years. That's really quite some time. Would you say, Sean, that, you know, I've known your wife 20 years, is she here? Got to be careful what they say. Do you think you sort of know her? You know how to push her buttons? So you, after 20 years living with a person, you must know them. So here we are after like 90 years. Who are you actually? What are you doing here? What's the idea? This is what Arjuna is saying. Because he has seen the universal form in the previous chapter, chapter 10, Lord Krishna described verbally the universal form. I am this, I am that. In the previous chapter, and other, in the seventh chapter also a little bit, Krishna said, in the seventh chapter at least, Raso ham apsu kontaya prabhasmi shashi surayo. Yeah. That means, I am the taste of water, and I am the light of the sun and the moon. You know, either Krishna's God, or he's got a serious psychological condition. And he's so bold as to say something like that. You know, here we go. Valpre. Krishna. I am the taste of water. I am the light of the sun and the moon. He goes on in the same verse. I am the sound and ether, and I am ability in man. You doesn't mean just you guys. Means human beings. Yeah. And Pranava Sarvavedeshu, I am the syllable om. It's like fundamental, foundational, spiritual sound. I'm the syllable om in the Vedic mantras. And then that was actually in the seventh chapter, but in the tenth chapter, Krishna really got into it. And he gave, if I remember correctly, at least it's approximately 70 examples, plus or minus 70. I am this, I am that, I am so many things. In this world, basically things in this world, you know, like for example, just a couple of sort of colorful, interesting examples. I am amongst the animals, I am the lion. Amongst fishes, I am the shark. Now, what does this mean? Amongst fish, I am the shark. Doesn't mean that the next time you're down at the beach, down the way, and you happen to, if you ever see a shark swimming by, should you swim out to meet it, to offer your humble respects and take some dust from its lotus fin? No, not really. And even, you know, perhaps the most extreme one, Krishna says, I am the gambling of cheats. Isn't that? That's quite something, isn't it? I am the gambling of cheats. So what does this mean? What's the idea? It does not mean exactly that, like we mentioned about the shark, or if you happen to be walking down the street, some of our devotees, at least in the past, when they were sent to South Africa to help with our activities, some of them, you know, they genuinely, sincerely expected that when they were walking down West Street, they would have to keep their eyes open for lions and elephants because it's Africa. So I, amongst animals, I am the lion, Krishna said. So it doesn't mean that the lion is actually Krishna himself. The actual person, Krishna, has just assumed that form, but it is actually him. Not exactly. And this is a very important point to grasp, when we talk about or hear about the universal form or the Lord's presence or manifestations of the Lord's potency in different special features of this material world, because Krishna, he chooses these different special things. He doesn't say, amongst fish, I am the sardine. From what do they call it? The sardine run, is it? No, he doesn't say, amongst fish, I am the sardine. Yeah. And he doesn't say, amongst animals, I am the, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, just some fairly ordinary type of animal. I am the mouse, or the dog, or the cat. No, amongst animals, I am the lion. Because even in regular human society, the lion is referred to as the king of the animals. Yeah, everybody knows lions are very special. You know, it may be close, but sometimes they can kill elephants. Yeah. So they don't really have any natural predators. Like sharks, they have no natural predators. Rather, they are the predators of all, at least in the sea. So, how do I understand this universal form? I am this, I am that, I am so many things. Krishna is giving these very special material examples, are very special in their categories, very special things amongst the animals, amongst the mountains. Yeah. Suppliers of light, the sun and the moon. So the basic idea is not exactly that these are Krishna himself in person, but rather these living entities or these things have been empowered, invested with great power of the Lord. Yeah, of the Lord. Like, we have our physical strength. We have our eyesight, we can hear, different capacities we have. But as you get older, you lose your physical strength. Generally, you lose your eyesight, like me. And I can have to wear glasses and I see, oh, I need a rudder around enough temple. Look at that. So you tend to lose your hearing as you age. So what does that mean? What does that indicate? At least one way of looking at that is that these, like our physical sense, eyesight, hearing, and so on, even, you know, our intellectual capacities, they're not exactly ours, like we own them, but they're lent to us. They're lent to us. Yeah. You know, if you're 18, young, innocent, and foolish. You may, if there was a war, if Mozambique attacked South Africa, or Botswana attacked South Africa, the 18-year-olds would be called up, but the 65-year-olds will not be called up, usually under normal circumstances, because they know when you're 65, you just can't do it physically. So that power, that strength, and even like sight, etc., These things, these are potencies which are loaned to us. And after a while, they're withdrawn from us. And finally, when you get really old, you may not even be able to stand up. Yeah, and you become sort of physically hopeless, at least in many cases, because those powers are not ours. They actually are the powers of the Lord, and He has invested, loaned some to us, and after a while, He takes it back. So it's His power. It's His power. And you cannot really separate it from Him absolutely because it's His. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that God, that I have become God. You know, you are extremely lucky I am not God, because I would not be able to manage it all. So like this, Krishna has invested His potencies in everything and every living entity. But in certain cases, in very outstanding ways, very striking ways. And therefore, Krishna says, amongst the animals, I am the lion. Amongst the fishes, I am the shark. Amongst immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Yeah, I am the light of the sun and the moon. These are the energies of the Lord, the potencies of the Lord. They are His. They are part of Him. But He is loaning all these things. And in that sense, somewhat indirect sense, He's saying, I am. I am these things. And that's the universal form. And Arjuna, as we said, he has had a personal relationship with Krishna for years and years. And they are really close, but he never saw Krishna like that. Krishna showed him how his energies are there in all the different material manifestations. And he showed all of them in all different places at one time. What an experience that was for Arjuna. What a devastating experience. You know, it's interesting, I don't know if you really noted it, but at the beginning of the description, when the Lord begins to show the universal form, Arjuna begins to see it, then he sees certain parts, and he says, from what he says, they're very nice, beautiful, fragrant, and just, you know, extremely impressive, but very beautiful. But then after a little while, after some verses, Arjuna's mood changes from being impressed and appreciating to being impressed but shocked, disturbed, deeply disturbed, and actually overwhelmed. And then as we read towards the end of the chapter, he requests Krishna, please withdraw this form. Withdraw this form. It's too much for me. I can't deal with it. I can't sort of digest it in my mind and my heart. And there's an interesting description given by Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura, just about Arjuna's personal experience, what it felt like the impression, the impact it made on him. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that for Arjuna, it was something like, it was so overpowering and devastating. He says, it was like Arjuna had a heart attack. I don't know if any of you have had a heart attack yet. You know, by the grace of the Lord, I have not. Please, I would prefer not. So I cannot speak from experience, but maybe there's someone here who has actually. And from what we hear and what I've seen, some people who had heart attacks, it's devastating. It's extremely devastating. I saw one person, he actually died of a heart attack later, but he had a first heart attack. He was only like 40, less than 50. You know, at my stage of life, you'd say, he was young. He was young. Not even 50, just a young boy. But he had a heart attack. He was in one of the hospitals down there in the center of Durban. And I went to see him, and I could hardly recognize him because, yeah. Anyway, I could hardly recognize him. It had affected his sort of countenance quite drastically. So for Arjuna, seeing this fall was devastating. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says he would have died. So many people do die when they have heart attacks. He would have died, but he was kind of a hardened person. He was a warrior, and he had been a warrior for years, and he had killed many people, not with a gun from 100 meters away, but face to face, you know, not even 1 meter apart, hacking people's heads off, and other things. Oh yeah, many times. So he was hardened. He was used to it. Therefore he didn't die. But still it was just, he was just too shocked by the whole experience. Couldn't manage. So he asked Krishna, please withdraw it. Withdraw it now. So that form, just in regards to the idea that it is a material form and it's not directly Krishna himself in person, but it's displays of his energy. Let me read one verse which from further on, here it is. It's verse 47. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you by my internal potency, this supreme universal form within the material world. Yeah. So it's a material manifestation, whereas Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Yeah, Krishna is the supreme controller, and his form is eternal, fully conscious and full of bliss. These are the components his body is constructed of. Eternity, knowledge and bliss. Not flesh and blood and bones and so on, as in our cases. Completely different category of entity. And we want to speak of the fact that he's Sarvakarana Karana, the cause of all causes. But this is a manifestation within the material world, which is a very small part of the creation of the Lord. Very tiny, tiny part. So Arjuna had never seen Krishna like that. He had never thought that Krishna might be like that. He thought, he is my cousin. He is my friend. We are close to each other. Yeah, and that's who he is, and that's our relationship. So now, as we read, he asks, who are you? What's your mission? What are you doing here, actually? And Krishna replies, and we read this, Kalosmi Lokanshaya Krit Pravrito Lokan Samarhartam Iha Pravrita Retepi Tuam Na Bhavishyanti Sarve Yevastita Pratyanikeshu Yodha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I've come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. So Arjuna might think, oh good, we're not going to die. Hari Bol. Just means for the time being. For the time being. In the battle itself, you will survive. You will survive. But, you know, here, December 25th, 2016, Arjuna and his brothers had departed this world long, long time ago. But it's very important what Krishna says. Who are you? The answer, Kalosmi. In Sanskrit, Kalaha Asmi. Kalaha Asmi means just I am time. And what's my mission? Lokakshaya Krit Pravrito. Lokansana Harto Iha Pravrita. My mission, I've come here to destroy everyone. And if you consider time, when people are young, I remember being young, still they have some vague recollection of being young. And when you're young, oftentimes you think, I want to get older, because then I'll be bigger and stronger and I can do more things, etc., etc. Yeah, I remember thinking like that when I was small. I was 6 years old. I wanted to be 12 because it's better. You know, I could just, yeah. But it is that process of aging from childhood to maturity, wherever that is, sometime perhaps 30, 26 to 30. Isn't it all the soccer players retire by the time they're 30, isn't it? Unless they're a goalie and they don't have to run around too much. Usain Bolt, right? Usain Bolt. Didn't he just retire? Isn't it? I thought, anyway, I don't know. No question, I don't know a lot about that. But these people who are doing sports. You know, I was born in New Zealand. Have you heard of the All Blacks? Yeah. I know, they all retire. If any of them make it to 35, I think it's really unusual. And they normally retire by the time they're 30, because that's the beginning of the end. It's the beginning. Things start breaking down more. It's just the way it is. So what is time doing? To a young person, time may appear to be facilitating, helping, because I'm getting older. and I'm becoming bigger and stronger, and I can think better perhaps. So time is helping, but it's just a phase in a bigger process, and the bigger process is destroying you. That's it. So what is time then? It's really the destroyer. It's not so much the improver and strengthener and facilitator. So, yes. That's Krishna in his universal form, means Krishna in the sense of how his potencies work in this material world. Yeah. How the whole material setup, which is all empowered by him directly or indirectly, whatever function there is simply going on by the potency of the Lord. That's the material world. The material world is just like a vast garden of destruction, actually. And in the meantime, people think that we will enjoy life. We will have a good time, eat, drink, and be merry, and various things like that. But it's just, you're just filling in time. Just filling in time before the inevitable end comes. So what Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita is that we should not be over-enamored by whatever attractiveness there is in this world. You know, I read a story once, a devotee wrote a story, sort of tongue-in-cheek. Have you heard of Sleeping Beauty and Prince Charming? You heard of them? It's a fairy tale. Yeah. It's not true. But anyway, there was this beautiful girl. It's a long story. She got saved from some terrible situation by Prince Charming. And they rode off on his horse. And you know what they say? They all lived happily ever after. Our devotee, though, extended the story further. That, you know, she, Sleeping Beauty, she was a beauty. She was not your ordinary girl, you know, down the block. And she was a real beauty. And Prince Charming, he was not just your ordinary guy. He was charming. He was really an outstanding young man. So they rode off and they got married, hopefully. But they got together, and because they are so physically attractive to each other, guess what happened? Before long, they had about 15 children or more. Yeah. And poor old Prince Charming, you know, if you've got to maintain a family of 15 plus your wife and you, he was working 3 or 4 jobs a day, 8 days a week. And he'd get home. And you ladies know what it's like managing children. You know, sometimes it's not easy. But do any of you know what it's like managing 15 children? Some of our neighbors, when I was a child, they were Catholic. They had 15 children, actually. And we would visit them sometimes. And it was madness. It was insanity. On one side, 2 children were killing each other. On another side, a couple of children were screaming at each other. On another side, you get the idea, it was really quite something. So, yeah, Prince Charming, Sleeping Beauty, they had at least 15 children and if not more. And when Prince Charming got home at night, completely drained, Sleeping Beauty would complain, tell him all the things that had gone wrong and what he had to do and what he didn't do and what he should have done, and just sort of dumped on his head. And you know what happened after that? They divorced. So that's the extended story of Sleeping Beauty and Prince Charming. So the devotee is a person who's not too enamored, confused, bewildered by the somewhat attractive features of this material world. Some of it looks nice. Some of it doesn't look nice too. But some of it looks nice. The devotee is a person who is not bewildered by that, but rather understands this is Krishna's energy. This is Krishna's energy. You know, Miss South Africa, 2016, wait until she's 80 if she makes it, and you will see Krishna has withdrawn his beauty potency. He's really withdrawn it. So the devotee is a person who understands it, that the attractiveness, whatever attractiveness there is in this material world, is the energy of the Lord. It belongs to Him. So it should be used in His service. It should be used in His service. And therefore the devotee can engage practically anything in the service of the Lord, and not become overwhelmed by it, in the sense of becoming too fascinated with it and just caught up in material attachment, but to utilize everything, which is the property of Krishna, to utilize it all in the service of Krishna. So therefore we should try and do that. We should try and do that. Okay, so we'll close there. And Merry Christmas to you all. Don't get too merry, if you know what I mean. But take it as a time for sort of this reaffirmation and refocusing on Krishna, and rededication to engage in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.